Hey there, I'm Christine.
And I'm Stephanie.
And welcome to the Incremental Steps podcast.
We're a couple of smart, curious women trying to strike a balance between career, family, and self-care while striving to leave the planet better off than the way we found it.
We're learning that we can't do it alone, like most things. We need each other, all of us. So every couple of weeks, we're going to check in for support in these difficult times and challenge each other to find new ways to leave a lighter footprint.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Christine. How are you doing?
Woo!
Yeah.
This week was a doozy.
Yeah. I don't know why this week in particular seemed to be so much more intense than others, but yeah, it's been a week, and I'm glad that it's Sunday, and I can call it a new week and move on.
Right? I will tell you, it's just not you and I. Like, almost everybody I talked to this week, client or friend, really, this week was a doozy. So
that's wild. Is that, I'm so numb to the political arena right now that doesn't even really, it barely enters my consciousness anymore. Is it just like the planetary alignment or something? Why do you think that it's this week in particular?
You know, I honestly didn't have time to drill down into the why, because we were dealing with things that were in front of us.
School ended, at least here.
What I was just about to say. It's not quite ended for a lot of people. Some people are still wrapping up. But, you know, for college students, it's ending. I think there's a lot of grief and loss swirling around.
I believe we're having some of that at my house.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. So I have a feeling we have a lot that we could talk about this
week. Let's do
some I could talk about.
Okay, so I could talk about reducing our dependence on animal protein.
Okay. I could talk about what in the world are we going to do this summer with physical distancing, and is camping an option?
Yeah, I have wanting to go on vacation is one of my I could talk about. So same.
I could talk about tracking environmental protection and some new websites I'm playing with.
Okay. I could talk about the tension between conveying the gravity of a situation and forgiving.
I could talk about self-care and leading a really silly interplay session that fed my soul.
That's cool. I could talk about hosting a candidate forum on Zoom.
I could talk about really needing to write an article about best practices on Zoom, especially related to attention deficit disorder and people on the autism spectrum.
Interesting. All right. I could talk about Mrs. America and the fight for the ERA and getting to hear from the author of a book that fed into that.
I was so bummed that I missed that, because I could talk about Zoom banquets for senior year and one of them getting Zoom bombed.
Oh, snap. I want to hear more about that.
Well, we should dive in because we have less than an hour to chat, and that's a lot of meaty information.
Okay, I want to give one more because I think I missed it last week, and that was seeing a red fox when I went on a walk. Like that. I don't need to say more than that, but it was just very spiritual and cool.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Okay. So just in response to that, I could talk about how happy my birds have been this week. Like the birds in the yard, like they are just filling me with joy. They're just singing and happy and like, woo!
Yeah. We have had a lot of bird noise and frogs. You don't get the frogs.
No, I do. I've had 3 or 4 frogs in my backyard, which I don't have a pond, and right now we're on water. But no, we've been having some serious frog action this year. Yeah.
I hope you're able to sleep.
Mine aren't that bad.
Okay. You're lucky.
Yeah. Well, you know, my sweet daughter for Mother's Day got me a noise-canceling machine that I didn't even know I needed. But the very first night she gives it to me, I wake up the next morning and there's a text that says, "Did you hear that?" And I was like, "You can't give me a noise canceling machine and text me to say, 'Did you hear the noise?'" No, I didn't hear the noise. I was snoozing.
Nope, it worked. I did not hear anything. Don't know what you're talking about. Okay, let's get started. Let's talk about, okay, so you and I had a talk earlier this week, and we were talking about the challenges and how far we were with that, and we decided that really more important than even the challenges was addressing the need to approach what we're all living through, this shared experience, with some measure of patience and kindness. And particularly, I think we're all hitting this level of exhaustion right now where we really just want to get away from it. We want to escape. We want to go on vacation. We want to head to the beach or head to the mountains or do whatever. And there's this additional, like, and that's what we're used to do. That's what we do as Americans.
Most of us miss spring break. So
also that
it's in our bodies that we're like, wah!
It is time for me to chill. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that some. Let's talk about what that means and what that looks like this year in particular, with that additional layer of having to figure all this out, given COVID-19 and all that means and.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. I have been really struggling with this because, you know, as we've talked about a couple of times, Sammy graduates next week. And, you know, my first instinct in days gone by would have been to load everybody in the car and run to the beach and, you know, spend a long weekend, whether it was camping or doing something, and, you know, to just drop everything for 4 days and relax and play. And, you know, right now I was looking, because I've been asking myself this and other people and I have been talking about it. But a lot of things are still definitely closed. You know, I pulled up the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, the state parks and historic sites. And now the actual parks are open where you can go in, but they are limiting the number of access of people that go in. So like I was following a thread on Facebook today and somebody said, is Cloudland Canyon open? Which you and I've done a retreat there, yeah, a couple of years ago. It's one of our favorite places. And they said, don't even bother going. If you're not there at 7 a.m. on the weekend, don't go on a weekend because they're turning people away at the gate. There's only a certain number of people.
Is that because, I was going to say, they're restricting the number of people.
They're restricting the number of people. The other thing that I was reading on the site is that it could be several hours as they restrict admission until like a car goes out, then another one can go in, right? Mm-hmm. Depending, I don't know the numbers. I'm guessing that it varies depending on park, but it is also saying that their visitor centers are closed and they're still being manned by the park rangers or staffed. Let me not gender that. They're being staffed by the park rangers, but they're closed. So you can't go in the visitor centers. I'm not sure. It really wasn't saying about the restrooms or not. But it's saying the museums are temporarily closed too. So some of those things that we would usually do in the summer are still not open. Now, it really didn't say on the website. I think for sure through May 31st, but they're not saying when it might open back up.
Okay. Well, and because we tend here in this space to focus on environmental issues, did they have anything, did they say anything about any kind of enhanced behavior or changes to be respectful of the environment and of COVID-19 and what that means?
They really, they talked about sanitation, but they were just basically talking about so the restrooms are open, being properly sanitized and well stocked with soap, and significantly increase the numbers of times that the public areas are clean. We are sanitizing bathrooms, door handles, railings, and other high traffic areas in accordance with public health guidelines. You know, I know one of the things we often talk about is like litter and people packing, because both of you and I are hikers and we've both been involved in scouts. And so I know we have a different threshold or a different level of what we'd like to see out on the trails. They really don't address that in what I was looking at.
Did they say anything about gloves? Because I've often heard that I still see people sometimes wearing them, and they specifically say not to wear them. Like, don't bother. Those are for medical professionals.
They're not saying that. And that's where I'd lean too, because you know what we talked about, I think it was a podcast or two ago, is how they were talking about gloves being disposed of and people like littering with them.
Right.
And also how much plastic that's creating for our environment.
Well, and it's ineffective. It's just like having hands. If you get contaminated, then the gloves are contaminated. If you touch your face with a glove, you're still going to get infected. So
wait. Are you wanting common sense? What's happening here?
I think this country is really struggling right now with how you define common sense. So I don't take any of that for granted. But to use hand sanitizer instead, because ideally wash your hands with soap. And if you can't do that, use hand sanitizer. But try not to lose your mind about specifically with gloves if you can, especially because that's going to be just one more thing to pack in and pack out if you're out on a trail.
What they did say at the bottom of this, it was updated May 6th, and it said the Georgia beaches, that order expired on May 6th. And so the beaches are open, but it says, as we navigate these difficult times, should someone voluntarily leave their shelter, DNR is requiring that everyone on the beaches follow social distancing directives of maintaining 6 feet distance from others and prohibiting gatherings of more than 10 persons. The public is encouraged to report any observed noncompliance by alerting the game wardens, ranger hotline, or emailing, I guess if you had your phone on the beach, but.
So it kind of depends too on how familiar you are with what regular compliance is, but it's pretty obvious stuff. It's, you know, like pick up your trash.
Right.
And that's one thing. So I will tell you, so my side of this, I've become recently an expert on the beaches of Alabama and their situation. And I can tell you from having been doing freelance work, monitoring sort of people's feelings about everything that's going on, one of the things that really upsets the locals is going to the beach and finding it just trashed, which for some reason it really has been lately. And I don't know if that's because the sanitation departments are limited. Like, they're not able to change things out as quickly, or if people are furloughed and it's not being addressed as well. But for some reason, the trash is seeming to overflow from the trash cans, and then people are just leaving it. And not just, like, a soda can, like, broken pieces of furniture and stuff. So
that's like, not okay.
Yeah, like, the least you can do is, you know, bring your own way of disposing of your waste and take it out. Like, just treat everything like you're on a trail. Like,
right,
you bring
if
in,
you pack it in,
out.
You pack it out.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You take it back.
Absolutely. So I did find a little more details here as you really drill down in. It says this is what's closed at the state parks. Visitor centers, museums, playgrounds, splash pads, swimming pools, and exercise stations are currently closed. Recreational equipment rental is suspended, including bikes, kayaks, fishing boats, mini golf, and disc mini golf. And
so
most of the dining
so
are
much,
closed.
If you're, what they're doing is, it sounds like strategically what they're doing is trying to say, like, yes, you can be here. Mm-hmm. But kind of expect to be doing your own thing yourself.
Right.
Your own stuff.
And I think this is still through May 31st, so I'm not sure what the summer's going to hold.
So it could change. Okay. Well, okay. So let me tell you what I've learned these last few weeks listening to the voices of frustrated locals, and just some things that, you know, aren't necessarily an environmental thing, but you might not have thought about it, and it would make a big difference in dealing with going on vacation if you choose to do that in these times. One is support local businesses.
Yep.
Honestly, Walmart doesn't necessarily need your help right now, but the local businesses really, really do. Err on the side of caution. Even if the people there aren't, don't bring your germs to their neighborhood. Don't. Bring supplies that may be in short supply. There's a lot of conversation back and forth about this, actually. Keep in mind that the people who live there year-round go to the grocery stores year-round. and they need groceries just like you do. And if meat and paper products, if you know they're in short supply everywhere right now, bring them with you.
And I would also grocery stores. I would also add to that, because I was raised kind of in a rural area. Like, if you're coming from the city that has more resources, do that. Because if you've ever been shopping in rural places, oftentimes they don't have a lot of certain things because the demand's not there. So
I mean, unless you're going to, like, if there's a roadside produce stand and they depend on people driving through to survive, then yeah, absolutely. That's great. And support local businesses. Another thing, tip generously. These are people that depend on. There's a lot of service people there, and a lot of places are operating at 50% capacity, which is kind of a doubly difficult situation for people in the service industry, because they have half as much opportunity to make money, but they still have to be there. So just keep that in mind, and budget accurately for that. Like, expect to pay more for services and accommodations. Don't try to lowball. Local economies are hurt enough already without that. Look at you. Just try the best that you can to limit your exposure to other people. Really and truly, you're coming in from a different part of the country or at least a different area. Do what you can to not spread that around. Like, get takeout if you can. A lot of places are offering takeout.
Right.
Respect social distance. Dude, just those are things that help. They're not just polite things. This is what's helping the bottom line for local economies that need the business. And that's the reality. The reality is we can't shut down and stay shut down. There are too many small businesses and people who need us moving around and doing things and interacting, but you've got to do it in a way that's respectful and kind.
Right. And make based on safety for what works for your family too, you know, depending on who you live with. And if you're have people that are elderly or have autoimmune issues, all that stuff. And I, you know, we don't know the person across from us, the grocery store cashier, if they live with somebody that's compromised. So we always, yes to being kind and yes to being thoughtful this summer. I mean, always. But I think, you know, there's a saying I don't know, it's in all religions about, you know, if you're stressed, you need to pray doubly or meditate doubly, or, you know, I think that's kind of the thing we should think about with this pandemic. Like, we need to be doubly kind, because there's a lot of, we don't know the other person's story. You were laughing because I put up a new Zoom background, but as I drilled down into the state park site, I just discovered something really yummy. They have Zoom backgrounds of some of our favorite campgrounds. So I currently have Black Rock Mountain behind me as we speak, because that's one of my favorite views. So isn't that fun?
Yeah, that is fun.
So
one more thing before we move on. This is just a tip. This is just a tip I'm giving out there to you.
Oh, free tip. Everybody pay attention, because Stephanie is a wise woman. Let's hear it.
If you are looking at planning a vacation right now and you don't know what's going on and you don't know what the situation is, go check social media for local groups and forums, things like what's happening in blah, 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 or, you know, go see what because people, you're not the first person to ask the question, and they get really sick of being asked a million times. Right. So just go find out what they expect. What are their expectations for, you know, people coming in from out of town, and what are they apprehensive about, and act accordingly.
Those are great.
You can also
tips.
Get a good deal on if people have something to sell or they have accommodations, they're putting it out there. I had no idea. I had no idea that the way to find a place to stay on the beach was to go to Facebook.
That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that either. I usually used, you know, some of the traditional ways to do it, like Airbnb or vacation rental by owner. I didn't realize Facebook was, you could do it that way.
It's a great way to connect the buyer with the person who wants to.
Okay. Wants to Well, I have a friend, you know, she and I were having a conversation about once school's out, her family, because they were, you know, they were little, do we go, do we not go? So, and of course they're coming, I say this because they have some means, but they rented a cabin up in the North Georgia mountains, and they picked a cabin that they've got, I think, four in their family, and they, it has like its own private trails coming off the the cabin. So I'm sure they match up with other trails, but you know, when you're on those, a lot of times there's not as many people. So that's how they chose to do it. Cause then they'd have their own bathrooms and you know, it's cleaned in between people. And I thought that was pretty smart if that's an option for folks.
Yeah, that's great.
I've also been looking into what are some fun things that we can do that are safe that maybe we haven't, done in a while. So like, I really want to go to a drive-in movie. Like,
do you? I keep saying that. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's been years. It depends if it's the right movie.
Well, I was going to say, what kind of movie? Like my expectation of a drive-in movie that is going to be like a slasher film or.
No, well, like I was looking, I didn't even know there's a drive-in theater up in Tiger, Georgia. So like if you're going up north to check things out, they're having a country concert at their drive-in movie coming up, right? And then they're having there was a fire movie that's a family comedy they're doing. Now the drive-in that's off Moreland, it's a little more adultish films. The one that's-
Is that Starlight?
Yeah, Starlight has more kind of, you know, action to slasher films, you know. I was looking in there, you know me, I'm a rom-com girl, or I need a good documentary, which you can't really find you can't find a good documentary at the drive-in.
No, and you're damn sure not going to find a documentary, so yeah.
So that was something I was thinking about. I was also thinking about kayaking. Like, really, when I go kayaking, usually, I rarely see people. That is even before the pandemic. And as long as the pull out and take in and take out places are open, then it's a safe thing to do. I was on a forum today, and there is an app that I just downloaded that's a free app called Go Paddling.
Okay.
And that it can tell you the places that are open or not open and good spots for kayaking. And there are places that will rent you kayaks. I mean, I'd bring my bleach wipes if that was going on, but that's just me. But
I would do that too.
Yeah. So that was some of the things I was thinking about. Like how do we do this? Because I don't think it's going away anytime soon. So how do we navigate? Oh, and I'm going to say, as kayaking, I always take a bag for picking up trash.
That's a good idea.
Cleaner than I found it. And it's been a practice of mine for years, because sometimes it's an accident, you know, when you're kayaking and a big wind blows up, sometimes you can lose something accidentally. But a lot of times people have different ways they treat our parks and our waters. And if I can pack more trash out than I brought in, it makes me a happy camper.
That makes you a good Girl Scout, and it's a nice incremental step.
It is a nice incremental step. It's something we can do, right? It is something we can do.
It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't take anything away from your experience to just take a little trash out with you. Or right? If you're hiking too, like if you're walking the trail, bring a bag and pick up some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. There's in my crew, you know, my crew, they're like, there she goes. But as they get older, I watch them. They do the same thing. Hey, Mom, I need a bag. I'm going on a walk. Okay.
Nice. Right? That's very cool.
Yeah. So it is a good thing. It is a good thing. Okay, what else were we talking about today?
Well, okay, so let's talk for a second about the challenge. So the challenge we had was that we were going to do a DIY version. So I don't think either one of us has had the time or ability to tackle that yet. But I will say that I'm going to try to, by the time we record next week, to make a – so I had the toothpaste tablets – I can use them. I don't like them. I'm not crazy about them.
Okay.
So I want to explore creating a you can make a powder that's a little bit more earth friendly, and I want to try that. I think it just involves like baking soda and some essential oils. So I'll just see what's involved. But What about you? Where are we with?
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about is how crazy this week was and how when we originally started this podcast, it was about how can we make an incremental step while we're holding everything else that we're holding as, you know, as mothers and wives. And that was even before the pandemic, right?
It was long before the pandemic.
I was thinking, first of all, to stretch these challenges over the month and do an incremental step each time. So I started researching I have made my own laundry detergent before. And then it gets into the whole, what about the containers that you're buying? Most of the stuff I bought was in cardboard containers versus plastic. But what I'd like to do, the project I'm working on, and I haven't made a lot of, I made the first step because I started researching it. I want to see how they make these sheets that I bought.
Okay, that's
these
interesting.
These laundry sheets. I already know the DIY about making the dryer ball sheets because that's just wool and you're felting a big wool ball. So that may be my next do it yourself.
That's a lot of felting. How many sweaters do you have to make one of those balls?
I don't know. But I mean, you know, I have that. I don't know if you've ever heard my Ode to Complacency poem that's in my Still Point book. Excuse me, but it talks about unraveling reality. So we could take we could take thrift store sweaters that were ugly and unravel them and remake them into dryer balls.
I actually know somebody. I know somebody and her mom. They do that. They make felt that they go to the thrift stores, buy sweaters, and it has to be 100% wool, and they make all kinds of cool things out of felt.
I love that idea.
Yeah,
well, that's cool.
But it's labor intensive. So
yeah,
good luck with that.
Right? Who's got time for that, man?
Got time
not
for
me.
That.
Not me right now. Not me. One of the things before we get off the being kind and polite, also I want to say, and I know this just is common sense, y'all, but follow, like, if it's closed, it's closed. I was reading in the news this week about a woman who fell into the thermal feature at Yellowstone National Park after illegally entering, right? And if something's closed, then there may not be EMT services. They may not find you right away. Like, one of the things we forget is nature can get you if you're not careful. I mean, those of us that are
also,
hikers. And
that's a criminal behavior.
Right.
You can't just go traipsing around the state park or national park closed entrances. They're closed. You're breaking the law.
Well, and the other thing is, so the other thing I would think is about self-sustainability. Like, even if it's not closed, like when I'm reading this about, you know, the ranger, I think furloughs and limited staffing, like you want to be careful out there. You want to be kind and considerate, follow the rules, but you want to be careful out there, y'all. Pack in that first aid kit.
Right. Now is not the time to tax your local park ranger and see what their limits are. This is not a good time for that.
Well, you know, since this whole thing started, we've been under a burn ban, too, where you're not allowed to burn. It doesn't matter what the weather is or not. And that's directly related to not texting the EMS services.
No, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, that's Gwinnett County, where we live. I don't know where all our listeners are, but where we live, because we usually have, you know, people usually are allowed to do small fires right now. And you can still do your campfire. Like, you're contained if you're cooking food. If it's a backyard, but if you're burning limbs which is not really great for the environment anyways, but you know, we live in Georgia. So there's that.
Okay. Yeah. That's good to notice. So, we were going to do one last thing before we ended. Are we ready to do that? Or was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I said I could talk about, I was playing around this week, on a couple of different websites that track policies. And, you know, I'm a social worker by, education. And so I'm a little bit of a policy wonk or a policy nerd. And I know your work with the League of Women Voters, you are too.
Right. I think it's when I stop doing education policy.
Right. I think it's an incremental step we can all take is to explore a tracking website or an app that lets you follow legislation. Because I think sometimes people think, oh, that's too complicated, or understand it or I wouldn't know. But like I was on this website, govtrack.us, which is says it's a nonpartisan website. And I was on there. And what you can do is you can say like track a certain subject. So when I went in and I put in environmental protection, it pulled up, there were 295 bills introduced. And then you can go through and you can even, you can drill it down even further, right? Mm-hmm. About what your favorite topic is. But it tells you like, what's the percentage of it getting passed? Or is it being incorporated into another bill? Or is it, so you could literally pick one thing that you're passionate about and track it, or write your representatives, or even text them through the through different apps, and just have your voice be heard. I think it's one incremental step you can do. And I know for me, as part of my self-care and community care, is if I can take an action, even if it's a small action, it helps me not to feel as helpless.
Absolutely. Well, that's, yeah. I mean, let me put on my League of Women Voters hat real quick. You know, taking action on things, that's what we do. And that's how, it's the incremental steps, and it's the power of collective voice also, yep. that has more power. You can get a lot more done if you're doing a little bit, but part of a larger effort, then you can just going at it alone. And if you become a member of the League of Women Voters, I know for sure, at least in Georgia, we have a dedicated person who goes in and personally attends every legislative session, writes up a description of what the bill is and what its likelihood is and who's sponsoring it whether or not the league has a position on it and what it would take for that to be passed. And it's a great information, but it's something that you actually have to be a member to get
access.
So it's a great way to support the League of Women Voters would be to get be a member, and you get that newsletter also. So
that's good info to know. Yeah. It's awesome info to know.
Yeah, help us out. We're outnumbered. We need it. We need the support.
Well, and our voices count. And, okay, let's do a plug. It's if you haven't already turned in your census, turn in your census. That needs to be done. Every voice needs to count. You can do it online, and that's how I did mine.
And if not, my son will be knocking on your door to tell you to fill it out.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And I had a few triggers around it, especially about their gender language and things like that, I was like, okay, by the time it comes out 10 years from now, I hope we've done some work around this. But,
Well, yeah. Are the options limited? Yes. But yes. They're better than having no.
But it's important that you fill it out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's on the to-do list if it's not already done. And as we
And if you live here in Georgia, get that absentee ballot and turn it in.
I just got mine in the mail. I just got my ballot on Friday. So
time filling it out.
No, I taught two classes today and we're recording. So it is it's on my calendar to do it tomorrow to really read. I'm pretty sure I know about all the candidates, but I make sure that I check them all out. And, thank goodness I have good friends that are educated that I can ask questions too if I don't know somebody. But
also, I'm very lucky that this year, candidate forums were mostly done on Zoom and then posted on Facebook Live. So
one. How was that?
It was good. It was a school board candidate forum, and it was just for one district, so it wasn't a huge area that was affected. But it was really good to hear, what their positions were and how they felt about things and what kind of progress it means for our county. And, school board is one of those elections that's often overlooked in terms of importance, but it's a huge budget and it has a tremendous impact not only on your children, but also on your property values. So it's something that you need to care about.
I was shocked. I think it was last year or the year before that I learned we had the highest paid superintendent in the nation.
I don't know if that's exactly still true. It's hard to know exactly what he makes because he has a lot of things that are perks and benefits. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but he is definitely way up there.
Mm-hmm. And they were even saying that compared to like New York and San Francisco and
right in Los Angeles. Yeah, he's right up there with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It matters. I'm sorry I couldn't make your forum this week. I was too in the weeds with this senior and everything going on, but I know it's still important.
No, but it's there.
Even though
but
I'm,
you can still go see it.
Yeah, and even though you know I'm graduating out of that system, and there's a big part of me that you know is like, oh, I'm done. I know that I'm not done as an engaged citizen. So
nope, it just
I might have to
college.
Take a mild rest.
Fair. Yeah, that's what I did. That's totally fair. But that's why it's good to have these meetings so that you can still have a foot in that world and know what's going on. And being engaged is important right now.
Yeah, good work, my friend. Thank you for that.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, glad to do it. But I need to take a break from that for a minute.
Yeah.
I need to come up for air. We've done a lot of events.
You know, that's the other thing to know when we do this work. Whatever the work is, whether it's activism for the environment, whether it's engaging with different systems, that it's okay to rest. You know, that's that self-care piece. You can set it down. You know, you want to remember to pick it back up again, especially if it aligns with your purpose and your values. But it is okay to set it down.
Well, it's also important to spread it around a little bit, and I have not been good at that. You know, it's been mostly me and my co-president doing things, and that's not the fault of our board. It's just because we haven't let go of enough things to keep from being exhausted ourselves. So, that's also learn to delegate.
I think that's a pretty common trait among a lot of women sometimes, and that's okay.
It's
a learning curve.
So one of the things I wanted to say today, one of my talk about this was just that I'm impatient, and I'm realizing how detrimental it is to be impatient. And that's one of the things, like I really think for me, impatience is rooted in fear, and a lot of it is rooted in a lack of trust. And that manifests itself a lot of times in not being able to delegate. I just have very little faith that things get done if I'm not the one doing it.
You know, when you said that, there was a meme talking about coronavirus and things opening up too soon, and you know, we don't have all the facts in, da 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 da. And then somebody wrote under it, "This is why I hate group projects."
Right? Yes. 100%. I have the hardest time with that. And I really think that my thing to learn in this lifetime is patience. Like, that is my sole purpose in this life is patience.
Ooh, that's a hard one. Mine's balance.
Balance, yeah. Well, similar.
I've been working on the balance one for many years. So, you know, and I had a teacher one time tell me, you know, balance itself is almost unachievable. Like, there's a second or two or a, you know, but it is the journey and the seeking of the balance that is the important part.
Yeah, I feel like that's how I am with patience. It's about being in that space for as long as I can be in that space and trying to notice what's going on there.
Awesome. Well, I sure have enjoyed our conversation today, my friend.
Well, actually, I have just to kind of close things out, speaking on the subject of patience, I have a meditation practice to kind of close things out with today.
Let's do it.
And one thing, I'm kind of coming at this as somebody told me one time, I wish I could remember who told me this, I said I struggle with patience. And they said, well, you know, it's not about having patience. It's about being in patience. And I was just like, whoa, that was a real mind blower for me. So here's the practice, and it's something you can sort of take into next week. So first, contemplate the difference between having patience and being impatient and what that means. And for me, that was just like, I had little kids at the time, and I felt like I got impatient with him, but the thought of being in patience was just like, oh, okay, I'm in the flow, and it's not going to be what I want it to be necessarily, and that's going to have to just be okay for a while. And that was very freeing for me. Okay, so next week, really be aware of moments when you feel impatient. Stop, take a breath, mentally take a step back, and notice what is making you feel impatient. Can you choose to be in patience instead? Can you choose to be in patience instead. And then the next time you have a few minutes for meditation, return to that situation. Go back to that situation in your mind, take a few deep breaths. How does it feel in your body? How did it feel when you took a step back? How can you find gratitude in that moment? What did you notice? What did you learn? How did it feel to be in patience? And if you can get into a practice, and I did this for a while and I've gotten out of it, and now I'm back to being less patient than I used to be. But if you can get into a regular practice of doing that, it's a feedback loop that mm-hmm. really helps you notice, like the time it takes you to come out of that is, it gets a lot shorter the more you're aware of it, and then the more you're kind mm-hmm. of reflecting on it. So I would challenge everyone to walk with that next week and see how
that goes. I love that. I love that. As you talked about it, my trip to the post office this week came up. And yeah, definitely good tools to apply, especially because what I noticed is things are taking a little longer with social mm-hmm. distancing, with,
right.
And, you know, there's always that one person that, you know, mine was, there was this one lady in the post office that told her story very loudly 4 times about her postal driver had run over her trash can and not done anything, and not like, and she told, like, the whole post office is quiet while we're waiting 6 feet apart. Everybody's got their mask on. And like, she just kept telling it, kept, and I remember consciously taking a deep breath and just breathing. Oh yeah. So I love all of those tips. And yeah, thank you for that, Stephanie. That's awesome. Well, until next week, my friends,
absolutely.
I appreciate you. And
I appreciate you too.
I will, we'll have a good one. Keep breathing.
That's right. It's a new week. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great.
I look forward
to it. I'm excited about it.
All right. Okay. Check in next week. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice.
This has been the Incremental Steps podcast. Our theme music is A Woman Feels Her Power. Big thanks to Karen Drucker for letting us use it. Visit incrementalstepspodcast.com for all kinds of great information. We would love to hear from you.